people full of faith gathering in the name of Jesus, no matter what circumstance. Hallelujah! I am so glad that we can stand here and lift our God up high above anything, high above any sickness and disease, high above any lack that this world may feel. Amen. I thank you that as children of God, that we can stand here healthy, wealthy, and whole. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and lift your hands. Father, we just plead the blood over this congregation right now, God. We stand here and we go to war in praise, Lord. Jesus, I thank you that we can stand as children of God protected, that we can be a testimony that anybody covered in the blood, anybody who loves the name of Jesus, anybody who's got the fire of the Word of God on the inside of them, Lord, that no plans of the enemy can stand. Lord, any way that we are attacked, that thing must flee in seven ways in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your word says that no sickness can come near our dwelling. Lord, that if we've got the blood on the doorpost, Jesus, that the death angel must pass over. So we decree and declare by the blood, death angel, pass over this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, let's praise him.
Y'all ready to make war today? Come on, so sing this with me if you believe that. Come on and say,
I got joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn.
Come on and say why.
This means
war. Yeah.
This means war.
Yeah, hallelujah. Say, this means war.
This means war.
Hey, hallelujah. Say,
this means war.
Come on and sing this with me. You got joy in your soul, huh?
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got
singing on my strength.
Man, y'all sound amazing. When does he attack?
But I'm watching while I
pray. And no matter.
This means war.
Come on, y'all. This means war. Come on and say that
this means war.
Hallelujah. This means war. Come on and say, I plead the blood. Hallelujah. Say,
I plead the blood.
Y'all better shout that out today.
I plead the blood.
Because it don't matter what comes against me, I plead. Yeah, say, I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Come on and take it from the top. I got joy.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Yeah,
I got
singing on my trail.
But I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day. But I'm
watching while I pray.
And no matter the attack, I won't turn.
Why?
Because this means war.
Y'all better shout it out with everything you have. Say, this means
war.
Blood changes things. Hey, you're so amazing, God. And this means war. Say, we won't take it no more. Come on and say, I plead the blood. Shout it out.
I plead the blood.
Man, y'all sound amazing pleading that blood.
I plead the blood.
Because we are covered by the blood.
I plead the blood.
Yeah.
Say, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Hey, and say, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
And say, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
And say, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my
hey, say, you can't have my breakthrough. You can't.
I plead the blood.
Hey, come on and say that. I plead
the blood.
Cause it's coming. says it's his shield in the times of trouble. Come on, hey. It say you can't have my family.
You can't have
no.
My family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
It say you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
It say you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my money.
You can't have my money.
And no, you can't have my healing. No, you can't have my breakthrough. Say you can't have my, you can't have my, you can't.
I plead the blood.
Come on and plead the blood over yourself.
I plead the blood.
Hallelujah! I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Say I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Hey.
But they've got to come up with a new medicine. They've got to come up with a new vaccine every year, but the blood still works. Yeah. Hallelujah! We praise your name, Jesus. Not one drop of blood has had to be shed since you shed your own for us, Lord. We praise you. Hallelujah! Come on, raise your hands with me this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We bless your name. Hallelujah. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. And you are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, sing that out with me. You are here, moving in our midst.
I worship you.
I worship you.
I worship you,
and that's why we call you Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness. My God, that is who you are. My Waymaker, Miracle Worker,
Promise Keeper,
Light in the Darkness.
You are.
stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Come on, declare it.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop.
Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just want you to move and show Jesus powerful. We ask in your name, Jesus. Father, whatever people are dealing with in this room right now, that your Holy Spirit will just encompass them. We release the anointing, even though we can't see it, it's working. We release the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. God, breaking yokes of bondages in the name of Jesus. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We declare, God, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We declare, God, that you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. There is no one like you, Jesus. You are holy, high, and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. And this morning we honor you. We glorify you, Jesus. And we declare you as our God. Hallelujah. There is nothing, oh God, no other name that's higher than yours. Someone in your right lung, it's not a cold or a flu, but you have something serious going on in the bottom of your right lobe. In fact, in the name of Jesus, I reach in the spirit, and I command, I rebuke the spirit of cancer, and I command you to come out of that lung. There it goes right there. You start taking deep breath, you're going to feel the release of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, God, I curse right now that attempt, and I command it right now to have no and no effect in Jesus' name. Lord, when they go back to the doctor, they'll say, we don't understand. We thought we saw something, but it's all gone. That is because, Jesus, you are a good God, and you're greatly to be praised. Come on, praise him. Praise him. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are so blessed this morning to have our bishop in the house. We want to make sure we can give him all the time he needs. Amen. So I encourage you to make your way back. We're not going to do meet and greet this morning. If you love somebody, love them with your elbow. Amen. Not that we're afraid, but there are folks in the room that are. So just love them by an elbow. Hallelujah. Amen. Make your way back to your chair quickly. We want to welcome all those that are watching by live stream right now. You are our family. We love you desperately. Some of you have chosen not to be in the house, and we are not condemning or judging you in any way, shape, or form. You've got to go by your own conscience. But here we are. We are loving you and want you to know that we believe that God will touch you right in your home. Amen. Today is the National Day of Prayer. Our president, some of you like him, some of you don't. It really doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with like or not. Amen. We honor the office, not the people. And today we want to honor the office, and our president has called a National Day of Prayer. And we know without a shadow of a doubt, I don't know about you, but I do like a president that calls a National Day of Prayer. Amen. I like the fact that we're going to pray together right now. I don't believe that fear has any place in the house of God. I didn't hear many amens. I said, I don't believe that fear has any place in the house of God. So today, let's just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, on this National Day of Prayer, as people are praying all over this country and all over the world, we bind the spirit of fear and control over the people of God in Jesus' name. We declare, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And no weapon formed against the church shall prosper. We declare, God, that the world might get sick, but the church won't. We declare, God, the world might have no hope, but the church does. Jesus, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the I am that I am. And we declare you as Lord, not only over your church, but over our bodies, over our families, and over your congregation. God, we declare in Jesus' name, we bind that devil. Lord, I have no question in my spirit that this is a demonic attack against the world. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, just like we bind the flu. And we command that you have no more traction, no more hold. We command you to dissipate even quicker than you arrive. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, I speak to the spirit of fear. You have no right on the children of God. We bind you in Jesus' name. God, we declare that, Father, we will be free and footloose for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, amen. Prepare yourself for our announcements real quickly.
Easter's right around the corner, guys, and you know what that means. The biggest and best Easter egg hunt this area has ever seen. We're looking to collect 50,000 Easter eggs to stuff them so the kids can find them at all three of our campuses. Here's how you can help. Buy empty Easter plastic eggs and a whole bunch of candy. Drop them off by the kids' desk at each campus. We'll get them stuffed and we'll get them hid for the kids to find out on the field that day. Thank you so much.
What is up, guys? Are you in the grades 7 to 12? Well, I want to invite you out to our March Madness event. It will be on March 19th. We're having games, giveaways, come wearing your favorite sports merch.
And that same Thursday, we're starting our visitors competition.
Come on now.
So you guys do not want to miss a free trip to
Dave and Buster's.
So bring all your friends. Every person counts, including you guys. So we want to see you there.
That's right. And look, this is Ithaca, Mansfield, and Horseheads. Ithaca, you're starting on Wednesday night. Mansfield and Horseheads, Thursday night.
Thursday.
6:30. Do not miss it. It's going to be the best event, and the most important thing, you're going to grow closer to Jesus. We love you guys. We'll see you there.
My name is Pastor Michael Spencer from His Tabernacle Family Church. This is my beautiful granddaughter Sophia and my grandson Julian, and we're excited because of the great egg hunt. Yay! April 11th at 10 a.m. These fields are going to be loaded with children excited to hear and see the eggs. I believe they're going to have almost 50,000 eggs this year. You don't want to miss it. It's for your family. Go to our website for more information, histabernacle.com.
Yay, my babies. And we have Empower Summit starting tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Pastor Jim Raley. We have Bishop Rick Thomas with us and our very own Pastor Spencer. So we are looking forward to a fantastic week of Holy Ghost and fire. We're entering into the time of our worship of tithes and offerings. And wow, today, what a great day to be in the supernatural economy, right? Amen. We have great peace when we know we walk in supernatural economy. When you've been a tither and a sower, you don't have to worry in famine or drought or when there's uncertainty in the stock market. You don't have to worry when you are in God's economy, because His word says in Malachi 3:10 that you should try me in this and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot even contain. It even says that He will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So anything that comes to try to devour your money, He will rebuke it on your behalf. So it is a great day to know that we are in the supernatural economy of God. Amen. It is a great day to be a tither. If you are not already a tither, hey, start today. You know, God is an instantaneous God. His word is quick and powerful. So try Him in this very thing right now so that you can have peace over these next few months in the economy, that you don't have to worry. He will bring manna from heaven if He has to. Listen, He will bring a coin in a fish's mouth if He has to. That's the kind of peace we get to walk in. Amen. How many of you are walking in that already in your spirit? Come on, let's just settle that. Settle that right now. Our finances, we have peace over our finances because we walk in supernatural finance. We are not limited to this natural economy. Amen. Stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Bible. And in this house, we bring our offerings to the Lord and we declare the Bible over our money. So let's prophesy over our finances. You can find this in Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, I am blessed going in and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. If you you're watching via live stream, you weren't able to join us in the house today, go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us. You can go ahead and bring your offerings to the Lord this morning. Thank you. They've already started. They were so excited to give. But make sure if you're sitting at home, don't miss out on your supernatural financial blessing and covering. Make sure you're tithing right there online or text to give.
This means war.
Praise the Lord. Man, I don't know about you. I'm excited about today, and I'm excited what the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life today. Aren't you excited what God's going to do? You know what always amazes me, and if you remember a few weeks ago, I said that whenever you see the spastic moves of Satan, so whenever you see the spastic moves, so all of a sudden, spastic things are happening all over the place, in your life, in the church, across the nations. You know, if it's happening in just one location, that's just whatever. But when it's happening, not on coincidence, but everywhere at the same time, you pay attention. That's the spastic moves of Lucifer. Why is that? Because he's nervous. The church is rising. Can I hear an amen? The church is rising. Can I hear an amen? Signs and wonders. Shout unstoppable. The supernatural church. That's right. That's who you are. And I don't know what anybody else has whispered in your ear. I don't care what CNN says. I don't care what TBN says. I don't care what Fox Network says. I care what the Word of God says. Can I hear an amen? The Word of God trumps it all. Shout, I believe in the Word. Amen. If you believe in the Word, that's the transformation of our entire society. Now listen, I want you to strap yourself in. Strap in. We have our bishop coming. Don't forget, now I didn't say Brother Bruce, strap into your wife. Amen. He grabbed her tight. He loves his wife. On Monday night, Pastor Jim Raley will be with us. On Tuesday night, the bishop is preaching again. And on Wednesday night, we're going to finish out the Empower Summit. Now, this is mainly a pastors and leaders conference, but if you would like to come, the night sessions are open for you. It's a $29 registration fee. Let's be real, that means nothing. Amen. It's just so that you will come after you've committed. Amen. If you don't put a dollar in, you don't have that commitment to the dollar. So I just want to encourage you, be here. You're going to love it. It is going to challenge and change your life. But before all of that, our bishop is in the house. Stand with me. Let's welcome our bishop. God has placed over us. And I want you to realize that that's exactly what it means. Everybody's got to be under authority. Can I hear an amen? I said, everybody's got to be under authority. Can I hear an amen? Anybody not under authority is a rogue and a rebel, and that is not the plan of God. So in this house, we have our bishop. Let's give our bishop one more hand clap as he comes and ministers the word.
Father, we thank you for the supernatural release. the manifestation of your power in your glory. Father, we've already heard from Master signs and wonders. Father, we've already declared that the enemy is not to steal our blessing.
That's right.
And we've already made the declaration that the blood over our lives is greater than what the world could ever bring in. So now, Holy Spirit, open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, that we might see, that we might hear, that we might understand. Let Jesus be lifted up and declared. Let your Holy Spirit lift up my life one more time, that I might be that vessel you use. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's celebrate one more time. Amen. And you may be free. I have an assignment this morning, and I want to share some things with you because of all this thing going on. And I'm going to do a couple things. I want to deal with some of the issues so that we can put things in perspective. And then I felt to deliver the word of the Lord that God gave us for New Year's Eve in this year that we deliver in our church at home. But it's the word of the Lord that has been identified around the nation and really in other countries around the world, the people that we talk to. Maybe not exact words, but at the end of the day, it's exactly the same. We're saying the same thing. And it's something that we need to get in our heart because I believe the report of the Lord rather than what the world is saying. And when you understand some things this morning, you're going to understand that the world is truly, if you will, shaking. I love what you talked about, how about the enemy, you know, he's become spastic. And but because reality is that when you look at what's going on, that what they're using on the system today, especially here in the United States, and worldwide, but especially in the United States, you realize that it really is something that has been promoted, that has been lifted up, but it has absolute no validity to it whatsoever. And when I give you some thoughts this morning, hopefully it'll help you understand. We're not saying it's not real. We're not saying that it cannot be lethal. It can. We're not saying that it's not something that it should be addressed. It should. At the same time, the way the world, and especially here in the United States, the way we've politicized it, the way we've used it. And I'm not talking about Democrats, Republicans. I'm talking about in the world system. Amen. This is not about Democrats and Republicans. This is about the system of this world trying to come in to control what is happening. And we're on a test run, believe it or not, in America, whether we can be controlled or not. To lose our liberties and to lose our freedom and to take it away from us. And they do that in various ways. They can't control it in other areas, but what they use this as an excuse by which they can begin to say things and get away with things that normally they could not. But let's look at some things today because it fascinates me when I begin to look. In the United States, 2,000 cases of the coronavirus, or 2,800 cases of the coronavirus have been reported as of last night. It might be more today. 57 deaths in the United States, 2,800 cases, 57 deaths in 49 states. Globally, there's been 155,000 cases reported, 5,800 deaths in 141 countries. Most at risk are medical staff, people with illness, and older adults. That's important that we look at this. It says to us that the flu, on the other hand, 40,000 deaths in 2017. 60,000 in 2018, 12,000 deaths between October 1st and February 1st, October 1st, 2019, and February 1st, 2020, 12,000 deaths. World Health Organization estimates flu will kill 290,000 to 650,000 per year worldwide. 31 million Americans have contracted the flu this season already. The CDC said 5,000 people have died of the flu in the last 2 weeks. Now, 5,800 have died of the coronavirus worldwide. 5,000 in the United States in the last 2 weeks of the flu. Center for Diseases say it's not reached the epidemic proportion or threshold yet, although there's 280,000 that have been hospitalized as of February the 22nd, 2020. Numbers don't lie, people do. I want you to give this in your spirit. We go a little bit further. The coronavirus, the CVID-19 has shut down the world and the United States of America. It shut us down. The coronavirus has placed fear and panic in the hearts of the people across our nation. It has shut down our schools,
our universities, our preschools, as well as our parks. It shut down the NBA, the NFL, the PGA, the LPGA. It shut down Broadway, the world, if you will, Madison Square Garden. It shut down the cruise lines. It shut down the international travel. And I'm here to tell you, it's trying to shut down the churches. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Now, understand, they said that the flu, that it is not in that place, that it is of an epidemic threshold. That's fascinating to me. I said that's fascinating to me. Because when you look at certain things, you begin to understand in our society today, just to give you an idea, in the United States, 1,534 abortions a day since 2018, 214,279 have been abortions. Since Roe versus Wade, 60,284. Over 70% of the African American population has been depleted because of abortion. Planned Parenthood in 1970 started since 1970, 8,050,836. 2018, 80,592 Planned Parenthood abortions. It's important. Black babies since 1973, 18,085,276. And you tell me who is trying to war against our community of African Americans. It's important, you see, that as we look at this, and we look at where we're at, and they say that there's not an epidemic with the flu. There's not an epidemic with abortions. Illegal drugs, 19.9 million just in 2007, 24.6 million in 2013. Child abuse, every 10 seconds a child is abused. 6.6 million reported to the state protective services yearly. 3.2 are investigated out of 6.6 million. One in five women are raped. 1.3 million last 12 months. 67% under the age of 18. Suicide, depression, the main cause of suicide. For every 25 attempts, 79% of the suicides are males, 123 suicides a day. And yet, we are closing down our schools. We are shutting down our government. We're taking our Supreme Court and we're telling them they cannot meet in public in front of anybody. They tell us not to come to church today.
Oh, well, we're still here.
No, we're here. What I'm saying to you, church, is that honestly, you've made a decision today and you're making a declaration. The world will call you crazy because you didn't agree with them. But I got news for you. I'm of the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And the world didn't give it to me, and they certainly are not going to take it away. We see a unique thing in the 23rd Psalm when we look at that. And that, I'm trying to someone say he's not preaching yet. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm more concerned about the flu than I am about this virus. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Now, just so you understand the word cup there, if you study it out in the original language, it is your money bag. Did you get that? I know I get nailed for what I preach sometimes. But that's money bag. I said that's money bag. It says your money's going to run over. It's not about the car I drive or the house I live in or the bank account I have. It's about who can I minister to? Who can I help? You know, what we should be doing during this so-called pandemic situation is not going to the store and say, oh my God, they had a toilet paper. Just go... But go to the store and find out what you can buy to help somebody else. Let's turn it around on the enemy. Our little will become much if we'll let God use us. You understand? That's real important. So I've come to deliver a message today. The message this year that God spoke to us is this is the year of the flowing of the Holy Spirit. We call it Flow 2020. He says that out of our belly, in the book of John, when we read over here in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38, it says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me and on the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The Amplified says, and I love this, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes, who cleaves to and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being, springs of rivers of living water shall flow continuously. Boy, I love that translation. Write this down if you're going to take any kind of notes. This year is going to be a year of souls, miracles, favor, and prosperity. Will be a year that God's Spirit will be released for a season unlike the church has ever seen, for souls to be saved, miracles to be wrought, favor to take place, and prosperity beyond measure. In your home, on your job, with your neighbors and your friends, the impossible will be made possible. The lost will be found and the broken will be made whole. The supernatural, now get this, the supernatural will become a lifestyle and not an event. Let's not make the supernatural an event that only happens on Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday. Let's make it a lifestyle that wherever we go, the supernatural is manifesting itself. You cannot allow your problem to be a voice into your future. I will place my favor upon you, so live with expectation even in the presence of your enemies. Now, what's so important about the river that flows, because we believe to understand there's types and shadows, the Old Testament simply is laying a foundation that the revelation will come as we walk into the new covenant that we have with God. We understand that Abraham, that if we're in Christ, we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So let's go back and look at the Old Testament for a moment so we can understand what God is saying here in the New Testament. In the Garden of Eden, we find that God put man in the garden. Everybody say garden. Now, what's important about that is the Bible says in Proverbs, your spirit is the candle of the Lord. It searches the innermost parts of the belly. The garden of God is not out there somewhere now, but under the new covenant, it's in you. And it said, in that garden, God had a river. Now, it's important we see this. Every one of us here have a river of life. If we've received Christ, we have a river of life that flows. But watch now, your river isn't one-dimensional. It says the river that flowed of life that flowed out of the Garden of Eden went in four different directions. Come on, tell somebody and say, I'm multifaceted. Now it's important that you get a hold of that. That way you don't get held captive by any one thing. And when you look at the rivers, you understand. One dealt with increase. One dealt with bursting forth. The other one dealt with the fact that things would happen rapidly. And the other one dealt with fruit. It said it's going to be one is going to deal with increase. Because you see, your garden is a place of pleasure. It's a place to be delightful. It's a place of luxurious living. Your garden is a place of supernatural increase. It is not natural not to have increase. In fact, it is a breach in nature of God in you. The culture of the kingdom of God is one of increase. God said in the book of John chapter 15, you're connected to me, and because you're connected to me, you're a branch, you'll bear fruit. If you don't, I'll cut you down. But when you bear fruit, it will bring glory to me. I said, when you bear fruit, you will bring glory to me. Psalms chapter 1 says he'll plant us by the river of life and that we will prosper in everything that we do. This is a year that we need to begin to look first off to who we are in Christ and who he is in us and know that the Holy Spirit flowing out of us, it is a lifestyle that is supposed to open the door for the rivers to flow. When we look for miracles, they're going to come quickly. When we look for miracles, they're going to happen in a very, they're going to burst forth. It's going to come out of everywhere. It's almost going to be shocking to people when we walk through the stores or we walk into a home or we walk into a hospital. God's going to begin to do the supernatural. This is a year that's not like any other year. He said, this year I will do in the church what we have never seen in our lifetime. Amen. So why would we be amazed with God giving us this word of the Lord for this year at the enemy creating this situation, trying to get us to look at the world rather than look at him? But my Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, come on, church. We're going somewhere this morning. 2020 is the start of the new decade. In this decade, it's going to restore our identity. The church has lost their identity in the system today. They almost look at us from the standpoint, they try and tell us what we're supposed to be or who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to walk, how we're supposed to talk. We saw this as we see even in the political scene, the candidates and some of the candidates that come out. And this Buttigieg has already now begun to write his own Bible and say that, well, the people who wrote this thing against homosexuality, things like that, when they recorded it, you know, they were dumb farmers. I mean, folks, I'm telling you, this is where we're going with this thing. We've got churches today saying that, listen, all the scriptures are not, they're not infallible. They're not the inerrant word of God. They've got mistakes in the scripture, and men's kind of messed it up, and so they're rewriting it. I got news for you. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the living word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word's not going anywhere. We as a church have got to understand it's time for us to position ourselves. It's a year our identity is going to be restored. It's a year that we're going to begin to let people see the image of God in us. We're going to begin to reflect Him for who He is. It's a year, He says, that I have given you authority. My authority will be released upon your command. I want you to get that in your spirit. He says, I've given you authority, but it cannot release until you make a command. It's one thing to make a declaration. It's another thing to command something. See, in the church, we've always wanted, well, I declare, that's wonderful. But if you're going to move something, then you've got to move in authority. God's moved us this year from power to authority. See, the church has been filled with power. We don't know what to do with it. That when we understand who we are in Christ and we're a reflection of God, now all of a sudden I've got the authority and I know how to use the power. See, the world does not want us in authority, because when we're in authority, the people rejoice. The scripture says, when we're authority, people rejoice. The translation of that is that when we are pushing forth and we are prospering and we are now becoming, if you will, an influence, then the world begins to rejoice because the church does what's right. Amen. The system wants to tell you no, but I got news for you. Jesus had some opposition. But it didn't stop him from preaching the gospel of the kingdom wherever he went. It didn't stop him from healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons. It didn't stop him from feeding him with the loaves and fish. It didn't stop him from letting Peter find gold in the fish's mouth. It didn't stop him from raising the dead and telling Lazarus to come forth. And it didn't stop him from telling the rich young ruler, "You, what you're doing is wrong. You need to change." Time the church stood up and became the church. Not a declaration. We're going to move into authority. Our declaration is based upon the authority of God in us. The power of God is going to respond to us. We're not going to respond to it. See, most of us come and God starts moving, so we run over here and try and get into it. No, God says, I'm with you. Goodness and mercy follow me. Blessings follow me. But the power is in me. And the power in me is waiting for me to understand my authority so it knows how to flow. This is a year of flow, folks. You got to learn how to flow in that thing so the power that's in you. Greater is, how many times have we said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and things still fall apart. You know why? Because we don't know our authority, so that happens. What we're saying is a true statement. We just don't know how to use it. But this year, God said, I'm going to begin to release that. Your responsibility is to be fruitful and multiply. You must guard your heart, your mind, your actions. You have to stand for righteousness and holiness and integrity. There will be no room for compromise this year. Amen. No room for compromise this year. Thing, people, places, and things will try and get you to compromise who you are, who you belong to, what, if you will, what family that you're in. They'll try and get you to compromise that and try and get you to look at all the... Listen, folks, I got news for you. I know who I am and I'm not moving. I pastor a church. I've been there for 42 years. Abundant Life Church in Margate, Florida. I've got people that's been with me for 42 years. I've had some that's left. Only to come back later and say we'd come back, but we're embarrassed, but we missed it. And I just love them. I'm not angry at anybody. But I'm telling you, the enemy will try and separate you from your body. Don't let him do that this year. This is a year God's pulling the body together as a family. Cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. Understand who you are, who God is, where God has placed you. We'll get into that in just a moment. I got to move on. This is here that you need to remember whose you are and who you are. 2020, I will command the river of living water within you to flow according to the purpose you have called. Everyone has a purpose here that God has called you to. Let me say something to you. Stay in your purpose. It's so easy to have the enemy pull you and say, listen, you know, you've got a purpose. This is why I'm here. And the enemy said, well, listen, doesn't this look good over here? Just like when you look at Adam and Eve, and the enemy came to Eve and said, listen, look at that fruit over there. God just don't want you to be like them. The enemy will come and say, look at that. You can do better over there. Keep your purpose. Keep your focus. Don't have a broken focus. Make sure you keep your purpose in place. The purpose, what is that? The reason why. The reason for. This is what it's all about. Keep your purpose this year, God said. He said, this year he will manifest. It'll be a manifestation of power in my presence. It will be a year of supernatural harvest. It will be a year of transformation. Here that my name will be lifted up and I will begin to draw my sons and my daughters from afar. I got news for you. They're coming home. Come on, tell somebody. They're coming home. A year that my spirit will bring confusion to the world and strength and favor to those who call on my name. We've certainly seen that. We walked through the airport the other day and Minister Reese took a picture. There wasn't nobody there. We're in Detroit. We got here at 10:30. We saw maybe, 10 people walking through? I mean, the world's confused. You heard the stats, but nobody's listening to the stats. They're all moved with the panic. They're all moved with the fear. They're always moved with what the news media is saying. They're not looking things for themselves. Fascinating to me. And let me say something to you. You know, I watched the other day, the guy, when the president was giving his speech, and when he finished, one of the guys from the, I think it was Walgreens, somebody like that, gave him an elbow bump. People, this is a virus. Elbow's not going to save you. You sing about it, only the blood will save you. I'm fascinated with this. And the mask, their masks are not for to keep you safe, it's to keep me from breathing on you. We need to, folks, let's get educated here. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. This year, 2020 will be a year that the sound of my kingdom will be heard. The sound of my kingdom will be heard. I wonder what sound that is. Sounds good. Go back and read your Bible. It's the year that God is going to begin to manifest himself through us. Whether you believe it or not, you are the sound. Oh, let me help you with that a minute. The Old Testament, we had the move of God. It was moved. It would be with a sound, or it would be with a cloud, or it would be with fire. But in the New Testament, we've received Christ, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. They call that, it's not a word in the Bible, but it's a word we've used to interpret the physical manifestation of God in the Old Testament with the fire and all of that. It was called the Shekinah glory. But under the New Testament, you are the Shekinah glory. You're the physical manifestation of God. The sound is going to come from you. It's not coming from up in heaven. It's coming out of you. I said it's coming out of you. They're going to hear our song. They're going to hear our, if you will, our voice. They're going to hear what we're saying. And that's why we've got to understand. We've got to stay true to the word of God. Because this year, God is raising the church up and the identity of the church so the world will see God reflected and always say and do. Those that are closing their churches today are not reflecting the presence of God. A year many battles will be fought, but you have the shout of victory on your lips. Your faith will go through the fire, but it will not be shaken because I'm with you. 2019 will be a year of positioning, or 2019 was a year of positioning and a year of seeing, but 2020 will be a year that I will give you shepherds. Be careful with that. Shepherds, according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, it's important we see that, because when we look at that, I had Brother John Avanzini call me the other day, and he was talking about a new translation that they have out now as the New International Reader's Bible. I'd never heard of a brand new one. He was reading to me, he says, have you ever been over to 2 Kings, and when Elisha asked Elijah to have a double portion? I said, yes, sir. Second chapter there, 2 Kings. And he says, this translation says this, I can't give you what you asked for. No, listen to me, stay with me. I love it. He says, but if you see me doing this, I'll show you how to get it. Jesus, God Almighty. See, I can't give you what you asked for, but I can show you how to get it. Thank God. Thank God. I'm not dependent upon what if something happened? But if they show me how to get it, whether they're here or not. If you see me when I am called up into heaven, you can have your double portion. But you're going to have to do something. Everybody say action.
Action
creates a reaction. It's called seed time and harvest. You knew I was going to work that in, right? It's funny, isn't it? Nothing you do in life doesn't just come to you by accident.
That's right.
This year. Come on, everybody say this year.
This year.
My God. Look at this. He said that the shepherds, according, are going to have a heart for you, and they're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. They're not going to create a division. Shepherds don't create division.
Amen. Come on now.
Shepherds don't create confusion.
That's right.
And by the way, the kingdom of God has nothing to do with being competitive.
That's right.
It's based on creativity.
Have
you ever noticed when somebody doesn't have any creativity, they try and create a problem so now people think they know what they're doing?
Right.
Y'all ever notice that? Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every situation I've ever seen in my life, when somebody creates a situation, it's because they're stupid.
Yeah.
I'm not saying stupid in life, but stupid in the area that they're talking about. Why? Because if I can create a problem, then nobody realizes I don't know what I'm talking about. The problem with that is, if people follow me and I've created a problem, eventually they're going to realize I'm stupid.
Right.
Because I have no creativity.
Right.
Shepherds are creative.
Yeah.
They know how to take care of their sheep. They know how to feed their sheep. They know how to minister to their sheep. They know how to make sure that sheep are taken. They know how to, they look at things. Shepherds look down the road as they look at their sheep and they see where they're taking them because they're taking care of them. And God says, I've given shepherds to you this year, and they're going to show you how you can respond to these things. And watch this, because you see, understand, knowledge will be your seed for change. Understanding will be your seed for a new foundation. Listening will be your seed for learning. Love is your seed for acceptance. Honor will be your seed for access. Serving will be your seed for influence. Giving will be your seed for harvest. My word will be your seed for territorial ownership.
Yes.
My presence will be your seed of assurance as you face your enemy. This year, let me read it again. This year, my shepherds are going to give you knowledge that you have seed to change. We're being changed. We're transformed from one to the next glory, to the next glory. I'm in a process. I've got to take what's on the inside of me and let it get on the outside of me. Look at me today, but tomorrow I'm different. Hear me today, but tomorrow I've got a different insight, a greater understanding, a greater wisdom. Why? Because I've allowed the shepherd. Listen, I have Dr. John Avanzini. He called me last week. He called me 7 times last week. He's my mentor. Every time, Rick, I've got something else for you. Look at this. You got this. Yeah, okay, goodbye. Literally, and one day, it went 10 minutes later, like, listen, by the way, I found something else. Have you looked at this? Hey, God, okay, goodbye. But he's a shepherd that is giving me knowledge. And my knowledge brings change into my life. I'm not the same. A shepherd is going to give you understanding, and it will be your seed for a new foundation. Listening will be your seed for learning. Love is your seed for acceptance. Honor is your seed for access. Serving will be your seed for influence. Giving will be your seed for harvest. My word will be your seed for territorial ownership. And my presence will be your seed for assurance. This year, this year, my voice will be heard, my presence will be felt, my power will be demonstrated, and my name will be lifted up. Amen. This year, you be the witness, souls will be saved. If you dare to witness, souls will be saved. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Speak to the mountain, it will obey this year. Care for the hurting, and you will bring restoration to the lost and dying. Be a sower, and I will provide seed for you in every occasion. The actions we take, the words we speak, the seeds we sow, now get this, will determine what our next decade will be. It will determine how it's going to look to us. When God spoke to us this year, and I heard all of this crazy stuff in this virus going around, this coronavirus, and how people, I went back to our church last week and I said, go back to the Word of God. Who are you going to believe? Right. We're writing a book right now called The Uncultured. Ask the musicians to come if they would, please. Singers. We're writing a book right now called The Uncultured. It deals with a church who claims one thing and lives another. The Bible says that Jesus talked about the parable of the man who sowed the seed. It said that there one group that immediately the enemy came and stole the seed. Over in the book of Mark. The enemy came and stole the seed. Now, I'm not going to get into that because the enemy goes in a lot of different directions to steal seed. He can do it through tradition because I'm a religious person. Therefore, the enemy can take the seed because it didn't line up with my tradition. It can do it through my disobedience because I've heard the word, but I just don't want to do it. There's different ways he can do it. But then it says there's another group that heard the word of God. And they begin to be oppressed with it. They begin to be confronted with it. And so they walked away from it. Funny, isn't it? You know, so come to church is great. When you go out to work, it's a different story sometimes, isn't it? I'm always fascinated with Christians that change their story when they're out and about. And they come. And I love that we love to use this term in America. Toleration. I'm tolerant. Well, my mom, she loved me, but she wasn't tolerant. When we were wrong, we were wrong. I come from a different generation. This generation, they go through all the ways. Hey, do this, don't do that. Set them here, do that. Don't touch them. My mom believed in the rule, spare the rod, spoil the child. She could speak in tongues and spank you at the same time. Folks, we cannot compromise the word of God out there because we lose it. Amen. Then there's another group. Now listen to me. And this is where when I preach the message, I preach on the biblical prosperity, principles of prosperity and God's blessing. Is that there's a group that take what I teach, take it out of context, and try and make it about themselves. Prosperity is not about money. It has never been about money. It's about your life being able to prosper in what God's called you to do. Now, because of that, money's going to come into your life. But it's not about that. It's about your success and life for the kingdom of God that He's glorified. It's about what I've been called of God to do. See, some people are called, literally, they are called to give millions of dollars away. So they're going to operate, and some God's going to give them ideas, custom strategies that they can get in businesses and things like that, that money comes to them that way. But take a school teacher, for instance. They've got a limited salary. I had two of them in my church. They came to me and said, you preach this prosperity message. We can't wrap our, we're both on fixed income. We're held captive by the school system. I said, well, you're missing the point. Prosperity means you become the best teachers in your school and in the county. So they said, okay. So I said, let's pray about it. We began to pray. And so that year, at the end of the year, the wife won Teacher of the Year. She got a $10,000 bonus. And she got to be known by everybody. And she wrote a book because they had lost her daughter. And she wrote a book about restoring, how God restored her and her husband. The next year, her husband won Teacher of the Year. True story, I'm telling you. Her book began to take off. They began to put her on talk shows. They both quit teaching and began to travel the country on the healing of the heart, in the sense of not like here, but I'm talking about in the sense of the, if you lost a loved one, how God deals with emotions and stuff. Begin to teach and instruct on it. Their house was paid off. Their retirement was funded. Their life was taken care of. And they came back to me and said, my God, all we had to do was know that God wanted us to prosper in what we were purposeful. But you see, because of the care of this world, it entered in and it choked the word and it was no good. But there was one quarter, 25%, oh my God, read it. They believed. They reaped 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now, what does that mean? Stay with me on this. I want to help you with this. The level that you spend in walking in obedience to the Word of God determines the level of the harvest that the Word of God can produce back in your life. 30% is not a bad deal. How many here would like to have 30% return on everything? That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? But then there's a group who got 60. 60 is really good. But then there's another group who got full capacity, 100%. Full capacity. Why? Because they said, no matter what, I'm not going to compromise. No matter what, I'm not going to allow a day to go by that I'm not a witness. No matter what, I'm taking the Word of God, I'm applying it in every area of my life, every decision I make, every action I take, every relationship I have, I'm applying the Word of God. Whew. I don't know about you, but that's the group I want to be in. I said, that's the group I want to be in. I'm here to tell you, here at His Tabernacle, that God has raised this church up to change this area. I'm talking about just in Horsehead. I'm talking about change this area, geographical area. It's the reason you got churches on each side of you that God has raised up, that you guys have sponsored. But you've got to have a voice, a foundation, that when you speak, the whole county listens. That when you speak, this whole area of New York listens. That there's a fire that's gone up out of Horsehead, unlike anything and unprecedented to anything we've ever seen. This is the year that supernatural release of God. And for those who dare to step in, God's about to do a supernatural thing. I say God's about to do a supernatural thing. And I don't care what it's been in the past, and I don't care what it's like right now. From this moment forward, as we move forward, God's going to do a new thing in your life. It's not going to be the way you've seen it before. Cody, you're not going to run your programs like you've been doing them before. God's going to begin to move you in a different level. He's raising you up to a higher standard, son. And you're going to have to take what you've learned, the ideas, concentration from everybody else, and then lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, now, how do you want me to handle this? And you're going to begin to take this and this and say, no, this goes here. I think I'll put this. And you're going to be very unique in what you do. And instead of you looking to others to learn, you're going to have people come from the north, south, east, and west to hear what you're doing. He's raising you up for such a time as this time. Not to be a voice just here, but be a voice to be heard around the nation. And it's going to take place. But I want to pray for you today, right now. And I want you to imagine, well, I don't have time to get into that. I want you to begin to imagine what God wants you to do, where He wants you to go. I want you to go back and recapture the dreams that you've let go of. Jesus. I said, recapture the dreams you've let go of. Recapture that which you said, well, it must not be God's will. You just might not have been in the right place for it to happen. But it doesn't mean it's not God's will. I'm so tired of people saying God told me, and then later, I must have missed it. No, you just didn't get in position. But God's about to do that this year. So you got a picture of that? I want everybody to close their eyes for a moment. You got a picture of that? I want you to see it. In your life. I want you to see it. In the name of Jesus. Can you see it? Maybe it's your family being saved. Maybe it's a business bursting out. Maybe it's because you've had your heart because you wanted to be able to do something, but you didn't have the money. But you're going to get your eyes off the money and get your eyes on the vision, and God's going to bring the money. God's the God that says the impossible is now made possible. We do the difficult, He does the impossible. God's about to do something for you today. And Father, I've come today to declare over this house that in the name of Jesus, the curse that is upon this system today will not touch this house. I don't have to break it because it has no place here anyway. This is not a breeding ground for the enemy. This is not a place that the enemy come in and have his way. This is a household of faith. Father God, they've been taken to a level, but now take them to that next level today. Take pastors to their next level today. Take Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda to the next place today. Take their teams to the next place. Let them begin to see what they've never seen. Not be held captive by the surroundings, but let them look beyond what everybody else is looking at. Father, they are the shepherds that have to bring the seeds of greatness to these people so they can enter into that season of the supernatural. Father, I'm declaring the imagination, the dreams of everyone here. Holy Spirit, paint a full picture on the canvas of their mind. Give them the word of God that will be the foundation by which this thing is erected. That when they walk out of this place today, doubt will not have an ounce in their life. Fear will not have one moment in their life. Their faith is going to take them to a level that's beyond wildest imagination of others. Father, you said that in the book of over in the book of Genesis, that when men come together and they dare to imagine, if they get in unity, there's nothing they cannot do. Bring unity to this house, Father God. The enemy has tried to bring disunity over the year. But Father, this year, we declare unity today, Father, upon this house, upon the sons and the daughters, upon the moms and the dads, upon every individual here. I'm declaring unity upon this house today. Supernatural release, because there you command the blessing of life forevermore. And the enemy's tried to steal our blessing, but today we've said he can't have it but through the blood of Jesus. Father, we declare that so now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I celebrate you, Father. And I thank you for it over his tabernacle, this family, and the dreams and the visions of this house. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's celebrate the presence of the Lord, if you would. Come on. Come on, let's celebrate. I know this has been unusual this morning, but I felt like I had to deliver that to this house. Being that you are a part of our covering, you needed to hear what God spoke to us, because it comes from the head to the beard to the skirts of the garment. And as a bishop and overseer, my heart is that you as the people of God will enter into what God has for you. God is a good God. He loves you, and he wants to bless you. Pastors asked me if I would take up an offering this morning for my ministry. And you know our ministry here. I was just in Thailand this past January, and God is opening up more doors. We're looking to go back there with the Akka people, with one of the Hmong Bibles that we're helping put together. Hmong Bible is a Bible, not only translating their language, but it is a study Bible. It's called the Fire Bible. And in that, it has references, much like the Date Study Bible is that we see, but this is a spirit-filled, faith-filled study Bible. And in fact, where I've been fortunate enough, I've even taken some of my notes on Seed Time and Harvest and put in the Bible. So, I'm big on that, you know, because I know the author. But I just felt like we could be, and you say, why are you doing that? Because when we were last year, we were over in Myanmar. It used to be Burma, but they changed the name to Myanmar a number of years ago. And it's communist controlled. We went in with the Fire Bible that we gave to them. Pastors were taking the Bible. We have pictures of it. They were walking out with the Bible like this, weeping and crying, because they had no study reference. No study reference. And all of a sudden, they've got this thing which is, to them, is like a Bible college. Many of them didn't even have a Bible. Some of them came over from China and went back to China. We handed that thing, 5,000 Bibles we gave out. I ministered to 400 pastors for 3 days. Then we gave out the Bibles. 2 weeks after we were there, the government passed a law that no Christian material could be distributed. But they were too late. We had already given out 5,000 Bibles. Revival is breaking out all over those nations. And I've asked Pastor to go with me in January. He'd go over with me and see what we're doing and be a part of that presentation of the Fire Bible. I'd like your pastor to be a part of that. And be teaching he'll be teaching the pastors there. And it's a pretty big deal when you go over there and you see what's there and the people there. They're so broken. I'll tell you one story. I was teaching, I went over and talked. Somebody asked me, I said, what are you going to teach us? I'm going to teach Seed Time and Harvest. And they said, really? I said, yeah. They said, you're in a poverty-stricken area. I mean, these people are living in huts with palm fronds as the roof and the dirt floors and sleeping, in hammocks. And their bathroom is a ditch out back that they dug. They got to carry water almost from a mile away, go to the river, get the water, carry it back to the village. Because the government wouldn't let them live by the water. And they said, you're going to teach Seed Time and Harvest? I said, yeah. They've got nothing to give. I said, I'm going to teach it anyway. If it doesn't work here, it won't work anywhere. It doesn't work just upon affluent societies. It's got to work wherever you go. So I began to teach them the law of action and reaction, sowing and reaping, how God created everything with a seed. So we taught there. We went there. We taught 5 days, Pastor. On the third day, I walked in for the meeting, and I looked down, and there were some rocks that had been polished and rubbed off, and there was a couple of bananas. And I looked at the missionary and said, what is that? He said, you've been teaching Seed Time and Harvest. That's the only thing they got to get. They picked up rocks and polished them. They brought him some bananas. They're going to practice this. Now, here's the story. Now, this was back in 1990. I couldn't go back for a couple of years. 1994, I was back over there, and the missionary says, you want to go see the Akka tribe? You won't believe what God has done. I said, I'd love to go see them. So we're going up the mountain out in the backwoods and all this stuff. And I'm noticing that because usually we had to get off the road because the dirt road and get off that. And I'm saying, why would I get off the dirt road? He said, oh, because they've moved their village. I said, what do you mean they moved their village? He said, oh, well, the government came in and recognized them as a true people group. And they gave them acres of land right on the river. Because the government has recognized them, they now have a right to go to school. And their kids can learn to read and write. So we pull into this village, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing these houses on stilts with tin roofs. And we go into the chief's, or the head guy of the village. We go into his house, and they got a wooden floor. And I'm looking around, and he's even got a bathroom in the place. And I'm sitting there with 12 of his leaders and him, and I'm sitting there. I said, what happened? He says, well, you taught us what to do. I said, what do you mean I taught you what to do? When I was coming here, you were walking, and a couple of you had bikes. Now I'm seeing motorcycles and trucks. What's going on? He says, you taught us what to do. I said, what's that? He said, Seed Time and Harvest. He said, we started giving, and God started blessing. So when we got ready to leave, they walked us out to the car, and they brought bags of rice. They brought stalks of bananas. They brought little jewelry things and things that they made, and they're giving them to me. And I said, and the missionary said, you're taking this stuff. He says, you taught them this, and you're going to take it. He says, I don't care if we go down the street and give it away. This is their seed, and you're going to bless it. So we're going back with the Bible. It's going to cost around $400,000 by the time we finish with it. It takes about 4 or 5 years in translation. It takes a number of things that goes on. And we've already been working on it, so we're not there yet, but we're a good way there. And hopefully, not hopefully, by January we'll be ready to go. And so I'm going to ask you to help us. I'm going to ask you to sow a seed that'll change a life. I want you to help Bishop Rick Thomas and the Seed of Harvest Ministry do the difficult and watch God do the impossible. And so I'm going to ask you to sow a seed, and I'm going to be very bold about it. Sow the largest seed as you can. It won't go in my pocket. It goes in Seed of Harvest. We take that thing because I believe this. I believe if we're going to change the world, again, you're going to have the Word of God. You say, I'm going to preach the gospel. But once you've preached it, you better teach it. And so this is our goal. So if you can, I'm going to ask you to sow a seed. And I want you to sow a seed of significance. Sow a seed of value. Sow a seed that you, what you, and I want you to believe God for yourself too, because what you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. I believe you give, it's giving back, pressed down, shaken together, running over good measure. Say, you're trying to get our money. I'm trying to get every dime I can get. I'm unashamed about it, because it's not going to be in a suit I wear, a house I live in, or a car I drive. It's ministry. It's kingdom. Now, if it was for me, it'd be a different story. I couldn't do that. But it's not. And so I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to ask you to go with me where you've never been so we can see God do what we've never seen done before. You can make your checks out to His tabernacle. They will write one check because I want them to see what y'all give. And you can let them know next week what they give. I like to do that in my church, tell my church, and they give the missions. And I want you to be aware of everything. But I want you to believe with me. I want you to sow a seed of significance with me. And let's believe God. In the middle of a disaster, let's make something happen the world never thought would happen. In the middle that everybody's running, let's stand up and be counted. Will you do that with me? Praise God. And I want you to write, I'm big on this. I want you to take that envelope, what you decide, you can write a check, credit card, money, however you're going to do it, make it out of His tabernacle. But I want you to, on the outside of that envelope, I want you to write seed for change. Seed for change. Seed for change for others, but a seed for change for you. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Pastor, I'm going to let you come.
Isn't it great to have a great bishop? Amen. You know, it's amazing is I've always learned it many, many years ago, that who you submit your spirit to, many people don't realize when you go to a church, you're not just going to a church. When you go to a church, you're actually handing them your spirit and saying, I want to walk like you walk. I want to pray like you pray. I want you to teach me what you know. And it is the most submissive thing you can do. And it is one of the most powerful things you can do. That's why the church you go to determines the level that you'll ever be at.
That's right. Absolutely.
And so for myself and my wife, we are very wise people. Amen. We don't submit unto people that don't know more than we do. Don't let us know, but you know how it goes. We want to make sure that we're sitting under men and women of God who are going to sow into our lives and bring us to another level in the things of the Spirit so that we can bring you there. And so bringing the bishop is very important to us. Allowing him, through the anointing that he's carried and that he imparts to this house, through the anointing that flows from the head down, you don't want to let one drop of it hit the ground. Amen? And when you sow, you got to know that is going to bring forth a harvest, for the life is in the seed. Amen? This morning, if you bow your head to me this morning, I do want to ask one more thing. As the gospel's been preached, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That means today you have the opportunity to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I don't know if I have enough faith to be saved. You have enough faith. He's been preaching it for 45 minutes. And you've been given a measure of faith to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means that you're going to say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. Jesus, you paid the price for my sin, and I'm receiving what you paid for, so I don't have to pay it. And it's also allowing God to have a relationship with you. Not a one-sided relationship, but a real relationship. where he gives you peace, he gives you joy, he gives you purpose, he gives you direction, he gives you what the bishop was preaching about this morning. Religion doesn't give you that, but Jesus gives you that. Amen. All these folk are running around like chicken with their heads cut off. How can the church walk around in peace? Because the peace lives inside of us. He's the Prince of Peace. Amen. So when you know Jesus, it changes everything. We're not asking you to join a church. We're not asking you to join a religion. We want you to know Jesus. His seed of his life has been able to bring forth your life as a harvest. So today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, and you want to ask him into your life, you want to give your heart to Jesus, I want you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, young people. You can put your hands right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. I don't know about you. I'm excited. Heaven's shouting now for you guys already. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to have the ushers come forward real quickly. And then I'm going to have Mindy come over here. There you go. For those who raised your hand for salvation, I'd like us all to stand. For those who raised their hand for salvation, we're going to ask you to be brave. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you want to give your heart to Jesus, I'll go with you. Come on, ask the person right next to you. Don't assume they know. You don't know. Maybe they just backslid this week. They need to get right with God. Right here, the ushers are here to receive your seed. And when you put that in that, basket, I don't want you to just throw it in. I want you to declare, I receive my harvest. Say it right out loud, I receive my harvest. The moment you hit that, I receive my harvest. Come on, put it in, I receive my harvest. And you make that declaration in Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, make your way right to Mindy right here. And everybody else, come and let's give. We love you. Have an awesome week. Live by faith. Don't let fear try to control your life. In Jesus' name, have an awesome day for Christ. We love you.